So, hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. We've been told that we need to say something up top informing listeners that this is a new episode, so this is that. Quick Question is the advice podcast starring two best friends and commentators who truly have no business offering advice. It's honestly just an excuse to pretend a casual conversation is actual content. No one asked for it, and people who like it are wrong. I am Daniel O'Brien, one half of this podcast, joined as always by Soren Bowie. Soren, hello.
Hey, I'm the other half of this conversation, and I would treat it like a conversation. I think that if anybody's listening to this actually trying to get advice from it, you're making a big mistake. I'm giving advice to Daniel, yes, which is specific to his life, and it's going to work maybe 20% of the time for him.
Right. If there's one person who should be listening to this podcast, it's me, and I am not.
I'm very pointedly not listening to a single episode of this podcast, to the point where Bacon will ask us, what do you think this one should be titled? And I'll go, I don't know. I don't know what it's about. Can you just like, give me the rundown of what it's about?
As always, we are Quick Question, and as even more always, you, our listeners, prefer to be called Quick My Neck, My Back, Quick My Etc. and My So On. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do the whole thing.
You gave up on it so quick.
I did, yeah. I didn't like it.
Oh, because you got to put, that's why. You got to pussy.
You didn't want to say the P word.
Who's that? Who just jumped in right there? Who's that voice?
Hey, Daniel. It's Bacon.
Hey, Bacon.
I think you could stand for like an improv lesson, Bacon. We're like, you just only for the reason that it's like you walk into a room with some energy and like, hey, it's me. I deserve to be here. I'm taking up space.
No, thank you.
we're going to talk about a lot of things today. We're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about comedy. We're going to talk about writing. But before that, we'd like to get into our reviews. We like to call out one review every week to read on the show and to decide which one we read. I like to print all of them out, put them two by two into a toaster and see which one can sustain the toaster gauntlet. So here we go. I have a bunch of toasters. Some, I don't want to brag. A couple of them are like the four slot toasters. We got a bunch of them in front of me and I'm putting the reviews in them and I'm putting them down. Okay.
The way that they click sounded an awful lot like your voice. That was very interesting.
Again, don't want to brag, but I've got one of those like voice setups in my apartment where it's like Siri, except all the voices are mine. So when my toaster clicks, it's my voice clicking. But in other news, a lot of these reviews are burning right off the bat. That one burned too. I'm going to say all of them are burning. I don't know if I should have used different stock for different reviews. It feels like that would give one comment an unfair advantage.
Too much merit to that.
They're all burning. I'm just gonna pick one that I haven't put in a toaster. Is that okay?
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe this is the system.
It's a 5-star review.
Get the fuck out of town. 5.
Okay.
It goes all the way up to 5.
It goes all the way up to 5. Unlike my toaster, which goes all the way up to 10. RDJ writes, "Coastal elites with Midwest sensibility." Also, this is the first podcast to make me emotional. Let's focus on the first part first.
Yeah, let's take this apart.
Do you consider yourself a coastal elite?
Well, neither of those things. I can't decide which one I'm offended by. Because
you don't think you're, I mean,
I guess I am. I guess it qualifies as coastal elite.
You've been in Hollyweird for so long now.
I hate that you call it that. Yeah, I have, and I am on a coast, and I would wager I'm elite. I guess I qualify as that, but I wouldn't, you know, when I hear that word, I think of like Ocean's 11 guys. I think of George Clooney, Brad Pitt, you know, those A-listers, and I'm more of an A-minus lister, honestly.
Right, you think of Casey Affleck and Scott Kahn.
yeah, those ones.
Yeah.
And then Midwestern sensibilities, was it?
Yeah.
I don't totally know what that means. Do you have a sense of what that is?
I think it means the opposite of whatever you have in your head for coastal elite is Midwest sensibility. Whether or not that actually bears any fruit, that's what I believe this comment is saying.
Okay. Okay, so like I present as coastal elite, but underneath, I'm a coastal elite in the streets, but a Midwestern in the sheets.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Which I am fine with. I mean, I also don't identify myself as coastal elite, despite the fact that I've only lived on a coast my entire life, whether it was New Jersey, California, or now New York. But I don't feel like I embody the social public idea of what coastal elite means. But I take the compliment of having Midwest sensibility, I guess, because I'm equating Midwest sensibility with kindness. Yeah. Even if I don't necessarily agree with that, I know what they're saying.
Okay. Yeah. Then thank you.
Yeah. But the second part of this comment is the first podcast to make me emotional. That sucks ass, buddy.
Why? Wait, you think
there's nothing emotional about this podcast?
I told a story, Dan, at one point about a poor, helpless dog that I wanted to know in its last minutes of life that it had been loved by someone and wanted.
Okay. Well, if that's the episode they listen to, then sure. Yeah. They should have gotten emotional. But otherwise, I don't think this podcast should make anyone emotional, because I don't think this podcast should make anyone anything, because this podcast shouldn't exist. Before we get into the show, Soren, do you have some news for the people?
I do. Yes. I am currently moving into a new house.
Hell yeah. Whose?
Mine. I bought a new house.
Excellent.
Yes. And it,
speak on that.
It's in a better school district than my previous house, which in a lot of ways makes me feel a little guilty. I've been lying to my previous neighbors about why I'm moving, because the schools around my neighborhood are like ones. They rate all the schools in California from 1 to 10, and it's really tough to be a one. It's like if a restaurant was an F, but they were allowed to just keep
operating.
Hey,
man, you don't have to tell me.
And so it's they're bad schools. It would be nice to, in these neighborhoods, get a bunch of parents together. That's how you fix these schools, right? You have a bunch of parents who are all adamant about sending their kids there, ensuring that they're going to work with the school to raise up its scores or whatever causes those low scores. And I just don't have it in me. Instead, I'm going to do the lazy thing, which is move to a better school district, send my kid to public school for free, and one that's already built out and that I don't have to do anything with.
Hmm. Can I ask you some questions about this?
Yeah.
That are not school related. You sold your old house as well, correct?
Yep.
Which is better or easier, selling a house or buying a house? Which position do you feel like puts you in the position of power?
Selling a house. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so great, especially when the offers start coming in, because they're blind. Like, they don't have a sense of who else is offering or like what they're offering. And so occasionally what you'll see is somebody will make an offer, and then all they'll do is find out that there are other offers on the table without even being able to see them. And they'll counter themselves. Like, they'll be like, all right, well, we'll offer more. And you have to, like, that's the way LA is, because so many people are making offers on every single place here that you're just like, you're so stressed out and frantic to get it. We were really lucky in buying the house that we bought, because we weren't totally looking. We put in a really low ball offer on a house that we shouldn't have been able to get. And it just sat on the market for a long time. And then eventually they were like, all right, if you want it, just give us what you ever, what do you have in your pockets right now? Just give us that.
I feel like I've talked to people who've sold houses before, and it's so much more complicated than I, an idiot, would assume, because the people who are buying the house can bring in like an independent person to go to the house and see what's quote unquote wrong with it. And that immediately puts the seller at a position where they're not the one in charge of dictating the terms of the thing.
Yeah. So those are seller credits, basically, which means that when you have an inspection, they're going to come back to you and be like, all right, here are the things that are wrong with the house that make it unlivable. And that's always a hyperbole. Like, everything's, you can sell a house in any condition you want, but they'll say, these are things that make it unlivable. This is what it's going to cost to fix it. Either you can fix it yourself, or you give us this seller credit, and it's just money off. And that's always like a really awful negotiation, but it's not the worst, especially if you've taken care of the house and you're over the years, like you treat it like you were going to live in it forever. Then there's not a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. And are you fully moved into the new place?
No, we move in November. I want to ask you a question, Dan, but I'm doing it a little bit different this time.
Why, is it going to be a long question?
Well, I'm turning it into a bit of a game here.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So I've asked Dan previously before this, if there was a song that he liked, but that has just one lyric or one line in the song that ruins the whole thing for him.
Yes.
And then he's hasn't told me the answer to that question, but he's sent me the song. He's
all right. I've given you the song, but not the line that ruins it.
Exactly. And so what I want to do is go through the song and tell you which lyric I want to guess for you, which lyric I think ruins it for you.
Okay. Cause I gave you two songs. Which one did you pick?
I picked Hotel California cause it was more accessible. We can talk about the other one, which is famously named Lisa after the Lisa mattresses.
Uh-huh. Lisa. Yeah. You were wise to pick Hotel California by the Eagles and an incredibly famous song, but I don't know why you skipped over Lisa by Joe Iconis and the Rock and Roll Jamboree.
It was every experience me trying to listen to that song was very baffling because the first things that come up are not the name of that band. It's the name of the singer who happens to just be singing that song with the band, I guess.
Yes.
And so I couldn't find their version of it until I realized it was their version of it. It's just, it's a woman singing it instead of them.
Yes. Correct.
We'll
talk about it. Let's talk about Hotel California first.
All right. Hotel California. I listened to it again. It's a weird song. Everyone is familiar, I'm sure, with Hotel California by the Eagles. If you're not, you can stop this podcast and go listen to it. But honestly, come back.
Like, also, seriously. Is it I want to check this. Is the band the Eagles or is it just Eagles?
The Eagles, I think.
It's just Eagles.
What?
It's just Eagles? That fucking sucks. I hate this band.
That's such a bummer. I'm going to see Eagles tonight at the Hollywood Bowl.
Did you guys hear Eagles canceled because it rained?
I love the song Desperado by Eagles. All right. Hotel California. So I poured through the song and I was like, what is the most egregious line here? And I picked out what I think you would have picked out. I picked out... You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. Is that right?
You absolutely nailed it.
Yes.
It's the fucking worst part of that song that already sucks.
The best part about it is if you look at the lyrics of that song, no matter where they're written, whatever website they're written on, or in, say you've got like the actual record and you're looking at it there, there's an exclamation point at the end. Like they mean it. Like they're like, and this is a scary part.
Right. I think that's the thing that really bugs me about it is that like they clearly... They think that it's an important line. They think that it matters and that it should have some kind of impact on you. And it's just like, no, you're just, you fucking dorks. That doesn't actually mean anything.
This sounds good, but it doesn't mean a thing.
Yes. It's completely empty calories. And one of my favorite things that's ever happened in my life is that, my mom and I were driving around. Shout out to my mom who listens to the show. Also, ooh. Mom, you're the best. You gave me life, and I love that. So my mom and I were driving around and listening to this song, and that's when I learned that we both hated it as adults.
Oh,
it's like it's very rare to line up with a hatred point with your parent. And we were driving along listening to the song. We didn't like it. And then they got to the line, you can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. And my mom and I both simultaneously went, ooh, sarcastically.
At Don Henley.
Yes, and we felt so close to each other in that moment. I'm just like, oh yeah, we agree. This is stupid. We're peers now.
Oh, that must have been so great to share that with your mom. I mean, even generationally, I think our parents come from a generation where they all accepted and liked the Eagles. It's weird how much... it's like Jimmy Buffett. Like there's just a generation where they're like, oh yeah, he's canon. Like we all like him. So that your mom fucks off with the Eagles is really great.
Yeah, we bond on our hatred of the Eagles and our hatred of the Toto song Africa.
Oh yeah.
Man, I don't have a specific line because there's not a good moment in that song. So it's like a line didn't ruin it for me. It was top to tails bad.
Have you ever, though, been in a grocery store late at night and Toto comes on?
Rosanna? Oh, absolutely. I love Rosanna if that comes on. But Africa, no.
Interesting. And an a cappella group, when they do the thunder with their feet on the stands that they're standing on, that doesn't give you tingles?
I mean, of course it does.
That's not
I'm
fair.
I'm human after all. do you like Hotel California separate from that horrible line?
No, that's one of those songs that you grow out of. I think when you're a kid, you like it for the reasons that they think they want you to. You can check out a time you like, but you can never leave. That feels like something I would write in a short story in sixth grade and be like, fuck yeah, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
And so hearing it when I was young, it was like, there's a Traveling Wilburys song called When the Walls Came Down. And it's in the same caliber. It's like, that's kind of like a narrative song about a drug dealer and a cop and someone named Tweaker. And it's kind of violent and it's neat and it's a little scary. And so I was way into it when I was young. Like, I tried to write a story that was the same as it, which is to say I copied it. And my parents were like, what is this? And my brother was like, oh, he copied that from the Traveling Wilburys. And I was like, you motherfucker. But yeah, Hotel California is one that I liked when I was young. And then as I got older, I was like, you know, I think the Eagles in general might be bad.
I think the Eagles are bad. But then, like, even the reason that I sent this as my choice for this game is the opening of this song is untouchable. Just the guitar and like everything that happens before we start singing. It's just like, this is you did so much in setting a mood with such little time.
Yeah.
It's very effective.
And you know,
but then the song is fucking 9 minutes long and it's full of nonsense.
There's a Spanish cover of it. I think Los Lobos do it maybe. That's also really excellent. It's like a bunch of mariachi guitars playing that and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And they sing it in Spanish, so you don't get any of that.
Right. You don't know that it's nonsense. Yeah,
well, some people do.
No one understands that language. I've also given Daniel a song from my perspective.
Yes. You sent me the theme from Ghostbusters?
Yes, the Ghostbusters song, otherwise known, I don't know if everybody knows this, as Searching for the Spirit.
Yeah, I did not know that. And I know a lot about this song, which should tell you everything you need to know.
Oh, good. I want to talk about this for a very long time with you.
So we know that it's... largely copied from a Huey Lewis song.
Yeah.
We know that Ray Parker Jr. famously ripped it off from
Need a New Drug. Huey Lewis. Or yes, Want a New Drug, is that what it's called?
We also know, I mean, I don't know if everybody knows this, but he was commissioned to write this song and make a lot of money doing it, but he wasn't given a lot of time and wasn't really told what the movie was about. So he's writing this, he was just like, we got a movie called Ghostbusters and we need you to write a song for it. And you have 48 hours, and we're not going to give you the script or a cut of the movie. So he's just operating completely blindly and writing this song based on that non-existent amount of information.
Yeah, I think
this makes the lyrics a lot more. It's more
falls into place for you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He did have 3 days.
Song. Yeah. I would guess the lyric that you don't like. And it's the lyric that I love so much in this song is when he shouts, Bustin makes me feel good.
Dude, yes. Yes.
We're friends.
So it's close to Halloween. And my son is at his new school is doing a Halloween performance. I realized because one night we were just listening to Halloween songs and I peeked into the other room and he was doing a choreographed dance to this song. And I was like, what? Who taught you that? But so now we listen to it a lot because I love watching him do it. It's so cute. And then it gets to that line, Bustin' makes me feel good. And I'm like, wait, what? Because, I mean, just like, honest, the level of what the song is actually about, if you are scared and you're calling some sort of eradication service that's going to come get rid of the ghosts, I don't want a service that's doing it because they like the way it feels. I don't want somebody to come get rid of a rat in my house because then to be like, it makes me feel really good to kill these rats.
Right. If I had an exterminator at my old place in California to get rid of the ants, and at the end of the day, he killed all the ants. And I was like, what do I owe you? And he's like, oh, no charge. It's just the thrill. It's just the feeling. That's what I want.
Right. It ruins it. And it ruins his whole service. It makes me think that the song is really gross all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But as I want to do, I went through the song and tried to like pour into why it would have been that way. This is also before I knew that he only had 3 days to write the song. So I was like really trying to analyze why the song is the way it is. And I came up with a theory that is obviously wrong, but that I still like, if you're curious to hear it.
No, I think we should stop talking.
All right, let's move on.
Podcast down now.
Let's move on.
The president, am I right? Talk about a turkey.
Can he pardon himself? Okay. I'm going to get into this.
This is far and away, by the way, the most work that has ever gone into an episode.
Soren has
notes.
7 to 8 lines of like loosely written notes on paper.
This is, you know, okay, so.
I like to fuck the president.
Ray Parker Jr., for people who don't know, he's an African-American man. And this is written in the 80s when there was like some serious racial tensions, which was underneath the surface and which white people were categorically denying. They were like, racism is over in the 80s. And, you know, there's a, for a word like, this is not a good word. Let me preface it by saying this. The word spook. The word spook has like some terrible connotations to it. But uh-huh. And it also has some ethereal, ghostly comic connotations to it. I think that he might have written this song from the perspective of like a white person who's afraid of black people and what you would do in that situation. So like a lot of it is him saying things like, if there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Like you call the police. Mm-hmm. If you're seeing things running through your head, like an invisible man sleeping in your bed, it's like, it's all these things that fulfill this straw man, fear that white people have against black people in that time period. And it continues on like that. And then it starts to get really kind of sexual in a weird way where
right,
I think
that's what I was going to bring up is like, is it, how does the horniness play into your theory? Because there's definitely an undercurrent of horned.
Yeah, let me get into... So the horny lyrics are, I hear it likes the girls, talking mm-hmm. specifically about the ghosts, which the only thing I equate it to in that time period is like in Blazing Saddles when he's like, where are all the white women at? And that's the best way to piss off a bunch of white people is to have a black guy interested in white women. Mm-hmm. And also he says, let me tell you something, busting makes me feel good. That's like... this weird gratification I think that white people get from fucking up these black people, like by like calling the police on them, by getting them out of their neighborhoods, basically.
I mean, point of order.
Yes.
You think busting in the 80s, you think that had nothing to do with busting one's nut?
Well, I don't know. It is a really weird thing to put in the song. I'm just speculating on Ray Parker Jr.'s
I can't imagine Ray Parker Jr. is shout singing Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good. And he's using that to say white people getting black people sent away is a positive thing.
All right. You're probably right that one... you poked one hole in my argument. Thank you, Daniel. But there is a weird dynamic in the song with him saying over and over, I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Like, I ain't afraid. But then the whole rest, every other line of the song is about how, like, don't get caught alone.
Right.
Like, look out for these things. Call if you see anything weird.
Throughout the entire song, it's really unclear if he wants to get rid of ghosts or if he wants to have sex with ghosts.
Yes. And so I think that's a weird dynamic that a lot of white people had in their hearts in that time period. There was like the idea that cuckold porn exists in the first place is built on this, right?
Oh boy.
I need to remind everyone occasionally throughout this. These are not my opinion. Well, obviously the thesis is mine, but
I think it's all very clear when you understand that, you know, Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman were like, Ray Parker Jr., the movie is called Ghostbusters. You have no information and 3 days. Write a song. That's why the song is like, it's not clear where we stand on ghosts.
It's all over the place. Yes. And there's a music video for it. Did you know that?
Isn't it laden with insane cameos?
Yes. The tons and tons of people are in it. Weird people that you have no affiliation at all. John Candy, Chevy Chase, Norm from Cheers.
George Wendt.
Yes, George Wendt.
You said like a lot of people who have no affiliation with it, and you've chosen three comedy icons from the exact same time period of Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray. Like a lot of them Chicago guys.
Yeah, that's true.
So if like you're trying to shock me with weirdness.
Can you believe it, Dan? John Candy is dead now, and he's in a song about ghosts. Well, the music video is Ray Parker heavily featured in it, and it's a kind of a creeped out white woman wandering around getting chased by Ray Parker Jr. and her feeling very creeped out about it.
She is chased by Ray Parker Jr.?
Yes. So there's a whole lot of scenes where like all of a sudden he's appearing in front of her on some stairs and she just freezes and then runs the other way.
Is he a ghost?
No. Hmm. Well, it's not clear. He does do some, appear at one point in a really dark room, but that's, it's hard to establish what he actually is in this world. But yeah, she is trying to get away from him until the very end of the song, where at that point he takes off his jacket and he's wearing a Ghostbuster shirt and then they're friends.
Well, that's nice.
I don't know what that means, but I thought that her running away from him really supported my theory.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get some hate mail for that.
If they send it to the quick question Gmail account, and like, yeah, I mean, we could have been getting hate mail for fucking 9 years now, or however long this podcast has been going on.
I bet there's some very not 5-star reviews in there.
Who would ever know?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about music some more, or should we move on?
Yeah, let's actually talk about your other one. I want to take a guess. Now that we are batting 1,000, I want to guess your next one.
Did you find it? Did you eventually find the song Lisa from Joe Iconis and the Rock and Roll Jamboree?
I found the song.
Okay. I do. I love the song, by the way, and I love the album, which is a strange mix of rock and roll and theater nerds coming together to do a mix of covers and original songs. And it features a whole lot of stuff that I musically glom onto a whole lot. There's a lot of piano stuff I love. There's a lot of janky ass voices, which I love a whole lot. That's another hallmark of things that I like in music. And there's lyrics that involve words that you don't often see all the time, which is like, those are, I would say, the top three things that I look for in music is piano, janky voice, words you don't hear all the time.
And the theme of this song is also really cool. It's about a guy who, or I guess it's not a guy. It could be the lover of a woman who feels completely undeserving of this person.
Yeah.
And that I'm ugly. I'm bad. I don't deserve this.
Yeah. But it's a woman who just like, so it's not even clear if it's romantic. It's a woman who is who just feels very grateful for, but still undeserving of her relationship to this other woman, Lisa.
Yes. This could very easily be a Caroline Calloway, Natalie situation.
Yes.
Oh, so glad I get to use that now.
Who's for shoots?
So here's the lyric that I thought really put you off on the song. Sign on to AOL and think of funny things to say. She'll always LOL, never pretends like she's away.
That's correct.
Yes.
It's a song because it's a song that captures this really specific idea of like, I don't think I deserve you, but the fact that you let me into your life makes me feel like I might, and makes me want to try to deserve you. Even if you're wrong for choosing me as a friend, I'm gonna fake it. Sort of like the entirety of the first season of The Good Place, where it's like, I'm here, I don't belong here, but I'm gonna fake it because I somehow snuck my way in here. And I don't hear that articulated in a lot of songs or represented in a lot of media separate from songs. And I really love the idea of it so much. And then there's that stupid fucking lyric about logging AOL into AOL and saying funny things. And then her replying LOL. And it's like, just fucking take another day on that lyric. You know, there's not a gun to your head.
And you're putting such a time stamp on the song. You can't put a lyric like that in and expect it to be evergreen forever.
No.
It reminds me of, I was watching, for the first time I watched Bandersnatch. Have you seen that? The Choose Your Own Adventure?
The Black Mirror?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
And so I watched that. I did the Choose Your Own Adventure. And there's one portion of it, I don't mean to spoil this for you, where you're talking to somebody in the game and they realize that they're not controlling their own actions, and they ask, who are you? And your options are, you can give them a sign, which is just like this weird yes or no tree, or you can give them the Netflix branding. Like, it says Netflix in the logo title, in like their font and everything. You can say Netflix to them. And of course, I don't choose that because it takes you right out of the whole thing. It's like, well, I'm not gonna fucking tell this guy in the thing about Netflix, in the game about Netflix. And so I give him the other one, but the other one's not the right answer. That takes you to death. And so you have to click on Netflix, and it drives me nuts. It ruins the entire thing.
I'm sorry, what is Bandersnatch?
Black Mirror did a...
I'm so far behind from what I thought I knew was going on, based on the few words that you just said right now.
It's a interactive choose-your-own-adventure movie that Black Mirror released on Netflix. Okay. And so each stage of it, you're making choices, but the choices are, you're choosing between two different things all the time. Like,
It's only always two?
Yes. When he wakes up in the morning, are you going to have this sugar cereal or this sugar cereal?
Okay. And you reach one point where you have to choose telling them Netflix or...
Yeah, there's a point in it where he realizes he's not in control of his own actions. And he's asking the heavens, like, who's there? Give me a sign. And the signs you're allowed to give him are this tree, which makes a yes or no tree. Do you know what that is?
If this, then that.
Yeah, so like in when you're designing one of these games, you're designing a tree first that shows you all the different paths you can go through.
Oh, designing like a coder?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you go through like the first one, and it branches off into two different directions. One thing branches off, or forks, like a fork in the road. That's what you can give him.
Sure. I mean, branches was fine, but go on.
Or you can give him the Netflix logo.
And the Netflix logo is the right answer?
Yes.
Hey, that sucks.
Yeah, it's a big bummer.
It's bad, right?
Okay. It's as bad as AOL, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But everyone should check out Joe Iconis and the Rock and Roll Jamboree. They're really good.
I'm really impressed, Dan, that you got mine. I mean, your songs, there's really some, those are the real outliers. But in Ghostbusters, there are all kinds of weird things happening there. When it comes through your door, unless you just want some more, call the Ghostbusters. What the fuck is that?
There's not a good lyric in Ghostbusters. But I've always enjoyed, since a child, I've enjoyed scream singing "Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good." In the same way that, so like if we did the opposite version of this game, where it's like, what is a song that you don't really like, but you love one lyric of it? Yeah. I would do that Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy song, because there's that one point in the song where all the music cuts out and they shout, "And we made love!" It's like such a stupidly dorky thing to sing in the middle of a song, seriously. That's fun. I like it.
Can I do one as well? Yeah. Like a song that I think, well, I guess this isn't a bad song otherwise, but like it really helps it a lot. In You Make My Dreams by Daryl Hall and John Oates.
That's how they're called.
Do you know that band, Daryl Hall and John Oates?
Yeah, I know Daryl and John.
They have a lyric in that song where he says, "Let me tell you something," and then he goes, "Oh, no, he doesn't say let." He says something along the lines of,
"But listen to this."
Yeah, listen to this, and then it sounds like he's gonna like impart some wisdom. Then he just goes, "Ow, ow!"
It's my favorite part of that song.
And the music quiets.
Yeah,
and like it's like he's gonna say something really important here, and then he just goes, "Ow!"
Yeah, and like there's. It's not immediate. It's not like, "We'll listen to this, bow." It's like, "We'll listen to this, 3, 4, 5, bow." Like he gives you time to gather and listen to what he's going to say next.
I absolutely love it every single time.
Yeah. There's a really great discussion of that entire song on Punch Up the Jam, the only podcast that should exist. Everyone should listen to Punch Up the Jam. They have a Hall & Oates episode. They have a Ghostbusters episode, in fact, so you should listen to that. And crucially, not this podcast. Sorry, quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're segueing away from music. Earlier today, I watched Jojo Rabbit. It's the newest movie by Taika Waititi. It was very good. It's a movie about a 10-year-old boy in the Nazi youth who has an imaginary friend in the form of Adolf Hitler. I don't want to get into spoiler territory, but there's a lot of heart in this movie, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It also made me think of every young writer I've ever met and how every sketch writer has at least one Hitler sketch in them. It's just like a strange thing that I've noticed, and it's true of me as well, that I also had Hitler sketches, but it's like a bizarrely specific hallmark of sketch writers that you're 22 years old and you have a sketch about Hitler. You probably have a sketch about Jesus. And I was wondering if you knew any other hallmarks of young sketch writers and you wanted to talk about those.
I do. I know a lot of them because at one point we were young sketch writers making a lot of these mistakes. Yeah. there's a really common theme I think a lot of young sketch writers do is where at the end of the sketch, they don't quite know how to end it. So they just kill everyone in the sketch.
Absolutely.
That happens all the time.
It's a really easy out.
Yes, it is. And so anytime you go to a show, guaranteed backstage, there is a prop gun. Like guaranteed, every single one of those sketches, like at one point a gun's going to come out and everyone gets to die.
Yeah.
They also, a lot of times they throw in accents for no reason. Just like, and I've decided this character is Scottish.
Right.
but the one that drives me the craziest, and I see it all the time, is that young sketch writers will do inside jokes within their group or within their group of friends as though it's like it's going to be universally received well.
Oh.
Have you ever seen that? It happens frequently, and I think it's because those people are so used to inviting their friends to the shows, and those are the jokes that get the biggest laughs from their friends.
Yeah.
But they've got some sort of inside joke, and they just put it in the episode or in the sketch, and then everyone else is like, I have no idea what that is.
I feel like I've seen that in improv shows where the people on stage are clearly making themselves laugh. And I've been in the audience and was like, well, they seem like they're having a good time.
That's what you want in an improv show.
Yeah. That's what you want when you have an audience. Oh, these four people are having a blast.
That's, yeah. I'm trying to think of like actual examples of it. I know I did it. You came to a show once that I did with my brother. And
I did not. That's not true.
Yes, you did.
No, I saw you with your old improv troupe, but I didn't see you with Eric.
I thought I did a show with that group, and then afterwards I did a show with my brother. Oh, maybe it was just my improv group and sketch group. We were young. We didn't know what we were doing. I did a sketch in which I referenced, we had a bunch of people from work there, and I referenced a woman from HR, which is like the worst, dumbest thing you can do.
Who was it? Which one? Who was it?
What was the one we hated?
No.
Do you remember her?
I do, but
I don't. It's gonna break her heart. She's 100% listening to this. Yeah.
She's one of the 11. Bacon. She's moved on. She's fine.
Okay, so it was me, you, and Ellie, and whatever, and
yeah, that was it. And I referenced her in a sketch, and it was like a silly thing to do. It got laughs in the room, and I thought, yeah, but it's such a dumb thing to do in general because you're not. It limits what you can do as a comedian.
Do you remember? Did you have a Hitler sketch?
I didn't. We never did a Hitler sketch. Well, you and I and Michael and Cody did.
Yeah. Oh,
I guess that would be our Hitler sketch.
Yeah, I assumed you'd had your own because it just seemed like one of the, like Jesus and Hitler seemed
one
like
of the hallmarks.
The knee-jerk things that every sketch comedian when they turn 21, and I was like, what's a new way I can make laughs? And they immediately, inevitably, clichely turn to Hitler.
Yeah. The world's waiting for my take.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I did it before that. And I'll also say none of these things are wrong. They're just, no. these are like, it's well trod. Everybody's going to do this exact same thing. And there's good ways to do it, but man, are there a lot of bad ways too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back, like, actual examples of a lot of these. We made a mistake very early on with Sketch where, there was a guy in our group who is, he was really well built. Like, he was really strong, good looking guy.
And oh yeah. Ellie from HR.
He in one of the sketches is shirtless, and the sketch got no laughs ever. We couldn't get laughs at all, and we didn't understand why. And we kept like tweaking it, trying to figure it out. And then we put a breastplate on him in the sketch instead. He was a superhero, and we just put a breastplate on him, and all of a sudden it played really well. People were so uncomfortable by a really strong guy on stage that they wouldn't laugh. They were distracted and wouldn't laugh at any of the jokes.
Oh, that makes sense. I mean,
it took us forever to figure that out.
To like a sketch show or an improv show, and there was like a suddenly jacked shirtless guy, and we weren't talking about it. That would take me out of the sketch.
Yeah, but I mean, he had to be because he was a superhero in it. But you're still presented with a human being who's very good looking, and you're like, well what the fuck?
You just want to raise your hand and be like, excuse me, why aren't we talking about Chris Hemsworth? Sorry. Like, I know he's like a nerd superhero, but like, look at his body. It's impossible. Can we talk about it?
Yeah. And so the only way we fixed it was by clothing him.
Yeah. Smart. Brave. What fucking time is it? Should we wrap this up?
Yeah, we can wrap it up.
Okay.
Bacon, do you have anything to say about anything?
No.
Did you have a song you wanted to do, Bacon?
No, I was thinking of one song, but it was not. I looked at it, and all of the lyrics were stupid. So.
This is just a song you hated.
Yeah, no, I really like the song.
What is it? Tell us.
The Spin Doctors. Go Ahead Now.
Oh, Two Princes. Oh, I could talk about Two Princes all day.
Oh man, you could also hear that song on Punch Up the Jam, the only necessary podcast.
there's a lyric in that song that is. If you marry him, your father will disown you. He'll eat his hat now.
Yeah. Soren, do you have, like, really think about the lyrics of this song. Do you feel like you have a firm grasp on who the narrator of the song is?
No.
It's unclear, right?
Yeah, there's a lot going on in Two Princes. And, like, there is clearly a narrative there. I'm not the guy who can follow it.
Very often, I feel like there's a third guy separate from the princes who is also vying for this woman's attention.
Marry him or marry me. Yeah, I'm the one who loves you, baby, can't you see? Yes, but then he also... Yeah, you're absolutely right.
There's a point in the song, the one I was going to choose is... He uses the phrase, that's some bread now... as like a phrase of like, come on, like that's some bread now. This is not a phrase anyone uses.
We should keep in mind this is the same band that came up with the lyrics, your mama's a pajama and she ain't no good.
Wait, Soren, and I say this as someone who knows three Spin Doctors songs.
I was a Spin Doctors fan, Dan.
Okay, really?
Yes, I had the album Pocket Full of Kryptonite. Had a song, led with a song called Jimmy Olsen Blues, which was just great.
I only know Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, Two Princes, and the was it 4:30?
Yeah, my late. No, no,
am I late? Yeah, that one.
Yeah, well,
you know the whole album.
Little Miss Can't Be Wrong is on the same album. The other ones are on a different album. But Two Princes was on the soundtrack for So I Married an Axe Murderer, and that's where I discovered it. I loved that song when I was young, and it was my brother's CD, and I would sneak into his room to play it. And then at the dance that was coming up, you were allowed to bring in a song, and the DJ might play it. And I stole his CD and brought it in to play that song, and they never played it. And then I went to go get my CD at the end of the night, and he was like, I don't have that CD. And I was like, oh, no.
The DJ in this Colorado barn that you went to school at with 19 people, the DJ stole your brother's So I Married an Axe Murderer soundtrack?
Yes, and it gets worse.
there's only 19 kids, and they said you might get a song played?
Well, so this kid was the older brother of the girl that I was boyfriend-girlfriend with. This is middle school, so we weren't in the barn yet. We didn't graduate into the barn. But we were in a gymnasium, and he would come back to the school and play all the dances. And he was a big Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. And so Under the Bridge was in heavy rotation at every single dance. While other songs like Boys to Men were very popular at the time, they got no play because Under the Bridge had to be played 5 or 6 times during a dance.
Sure.
And unfortunately, So I Married an Ex-Murderer lost out to that. And I didn't get to listen to Two Princes, but I was working on a dance at home. Like, I thought this was the coolest song, and that just by association, I would be very cool because the song was cool. And it never got played. It was like the biggest demoralizing experience, and then ended with me feeling very guilty because I'd lost my brother's CD. That's all.
I don't know what to say.
I have a long history with Two Princes. What did you call it?
Go Ahead Now?
Yeah.
That's not fair. I didn't know what it was.
It's fine. You're on the fly. I can't blame you. People think the Ghostbusters song is called the Ghostbusters song. When everyone knows it's actually called Searching for the Spirit. Spirit, also sometimes known as the Soul. Searching for Soul.
Oh God, we're going back into it.
Christ. Whose turn is it to track down the social accounts?
I can do it.
Okay.
I'm happy to find them. But it's going to take me a while because I wasn't prepared. In the meantime, sure. I don't know if, Dan, you want to talk quickly about... You sent me a message the other day in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And you said that the fact that malaria isn't in the U.S. is proof that God is good and we are favored.
I sent that to you in the middle of the night?
Yeah. Well, for me, it was the middle of the night. For you, I assume it was 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
First thought in your brain.
Yeah, it was early. This sounds like it was after my... So I wake up, I have my coffee. I do a little bit of yoga. I started meditating, oddly enough. And it's really been doing wonders for me. That's sort of what gave me the clarity to arrive at this conclusion that if we were doing something wrong, then we would be justly punished for it. So the fact that we're not seems like we're moving things in the right direction. I mean, I don't want to say that everyone else who... I mean, I don't want to say failed, but like in quotes, failed God's test and is now suffering is bad, but that's only because it's not for me to interpret God's will. So I'm gonna fuck you in this next episode.
I was waiting for the turnaround on that one, Dan.
You made me talk about why virgins were bad. All right. On Twitter, you can follow Daniel at DOB_Inc. or me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. You can follow Michael Schroer at Make Me Bacon Please, spelled PLS.
Why would you follow
him? Or why?
Yeah, like what does he do on Twitter?
Well, he certainly doesn't tweet about the show, I can tell you that much.
No, absolutely not.
You got to follow our official account to watch me not tweet about the show.
You can also go to... You can follow Bacon at Quick Question, too, because he's the only one using that account.
There are a lot of options if you want to be let down.
That one is QQ_Soren and Dan. Don't let the names in that fool you. It's just Bacon in there. You can email us your complaints at QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. You might think it would be Soren and Dan, but it's not. It's Daniel in that case. We have an Instagram, but don't bother. And we also have a Patreon, which Dan will tell you don't spend your money on it. I'm going to say...
I mean, there's a lot of things. Yeah. Donors Choose right now. You can go like donorschoose.org. You can find teachers that need support to get supplies to their students.
Yeah, but like give them $50, but us, kick us $3. Who's that going to hurt? You're not even using that $3.
The students. Hurt the students.
They don't need it. You can follow that at patreon.com/quickquestion.com. And also, we have a new sound engineer. We just want to say thanks to him. His name is Gabe.
Hi, Gabe.
Bye, Gabe. Bye, Dan.
Bye.